CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Here we are live. There's Gord Laws, there's Sia Sangweni, there's me, and there's you. That's pretty much, that's all we need. It's all you need to start your Wednesday. Just the four of us. Exactly. And then
see ya, Gareth, Gord, and you. Just the four of us. Nothing else you need to do. Just the four of us. Five if there's a passenger with you, or a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or significant gender.
And two people in the studio. That's all we need, right?
So here we are. It's Wednesday. It's nighttime. Yes. Soon it will be day.
Listen,
how's everybody?
Dude, it's getting cold in the mornings. Jesus, I woke up this morning. I was like, "Woo, I'm not feeling this. This is something unfamiliar to me as of like 6 months ago."
The thing that I'm looking forward to most about winter is feeling it. Uh-huh. No, I want it to be cold. I want to be shivery. I want to always be looking for something more to put on.
Why?
I don't want to be boiling hot anymore.
But Gord, you are much,
people,
you're much less
pale
fat. You are much, much
European.
Less fat. So you.
Oh yeah, but I mean, it's like saying that you had an 1100 superbike and it was very fast, and now your 750 Ducati is not as fast. You're dealing with different levels of fat. I do identify now as a large human and not a small hat. So that's nice.
Oh,
a small hat.
There's levels, yeah.
To this, yes.
I would have been like a young hut, the herd. I would have got butted around the herd a lot. I would be like waiting in the wings for my time.
Right.
So not like a prominent hut that runs its own crime cartel, like an upcoming young understudy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Okay, you're a little classy. I felt very hipster this morning, I have to admit.
How so?
I woke up a little early.
Did you judge someone for having a much better job than you? While you were pouring coffee and explaining how flute is your life.
No. I woke up a little earlier than usual, and I went and I opened the blinds in the lounge, and I just like got struck by the sunrise. As much as you guys complain that it's so dark and cold, I saw the sunrise, and I had dug into last night's salad that I made, but I don't know why. I just saw like the lettuce was all my vibe. So there I was just standing looking at the sunrise, chomping on lettuce, thinking, this is very hipster as I meditate.
No, you're very
everybody
hipster.
At some time in their life, young Sia, you know,
hugely
an
hipster.
Older guy. Let me just tell you that it won't be the last time you find yourself at 5:30 a.m. watching the sunrise, eating a salad.
So
you should have gone outside on the balcony and looked for other people also early morning salading. It's quite a normal thing as you get older.
Namaste.
So one quick observation about the show going live to YouTube, which is what we're doing this week and from Monday. Oh, geez, that's great.
He's on the truth.
Yeah. Anytime I speak, absolute
I sneeze
truth,
when I get aroused.
The ancestors come to me. Ugh. All right.
You sneeze when you're aroused? Yeah, and it's not 100% of the time, but it's a solid 75% of the time. And I can even
–
it even happens before I know I'm aroused.
Thanks for the warning.
Something erotically triggering will happen, and I'll be like – and then 5 seconds later, I start going, there are physical reactions other than this. And I looked into it. I Googled it, and then I've got a very, very like friendly relationship with my doctor. So when I was at him, I was like, is this normal? And apparently, it's not – blood rushes to a number of places. The tip of your nose is one of them. And for some people, it just makes you sneeze. So it's not the only reason I sneeze. It's not like every time I sneeze, it means now I'm secretly aroused. But usually arousal begins. Step zero is a little.
Well, if anybody sees.
I thought you were joking.
No, and it's not all that uncommon.
If anybody
I mean, it's obviously
sees,
one of those rare
hears.
Things that not everyone has. But if you Google it, there's a name for it.
What does that mean? Hey, baby. Let's get it off.
No. It comes long after
Marvin
the hey, baby,
Marvin Gaye music
saying,
starts
hey,
playing.
Baby, back.
Listen, if anybody
Gareth,
sees Gord.
Gareth, you're on mute. I think this is your first deposit into the.
So, if anybody sees Gord or hears Gord sneezing, we need to stop the show and give him a minute. But what my observation
maybe
is.
Maybe two or 3 minutes, depending on how warm it is.
When you go on YouTube Live, it takes a picture automatically at some point in the show and then posts this picture and then I get a notification that the channel's live, right? So it goes out to everyone who's subscribed. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do that, because we're also tracking that to figure out whether, you know, it's worth doing this or not. And, you know, if there are not enough people, I'm just going to can it. But it seems like we're doing really well so far. But the reason that we're going on YouTube, and Basit-san has actually asked this question, is because usually people go the other way around. They start on YouTube and then they eventually build their own channel event, you know, once, you know, YouTube becomes complicated. But we've decided to do it exactly the opposite way, because there are a whole lot of people who use YouTube daily and who we might be missing out on, and who might be missing out on us. Anyway, it takes this picture at random when you do the show, and it's always a shitty picture, which proves to me what I've always said, that I am the least photogenic person in the universe, because the picture for today is a picture of, I'll tell you what it is because I'm looking at it right now. I'm sitting there like scowling at the camera, because it was obviously just as I pressed go. Gord is halfway cut off, so there's only half of his face, and then he's going as well, pulling a very sour face, and Sia's not even on the screen. Like, it's got your wall in the background. So it must have, I mean, that's just such a great picture. If anyone sees that in their notifications, they're going to be thrilled to come back to the show. So if you want to see a shitty picture of each of us every morning, that is the best way to get one. Subscribe.
We are best suited to an audio medium, but hey.
Yeah,
I'm all about it.
Well,
it's just normal that if a photo happens and people aren't prepared for it, that you're going to look like you're having a stroke and or an orgasm in your face in the picture. Like, you can literally be saying "Good morning, friend," and yep, it'll come out looking as if you're like in the middle of unanesthetized surgery.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Brad says it is nice to get everything in one place on YouTube, and yeah, there are a lot of kind of plugins that make YouTube very friendly for, you know, both video and audio, which is awesome. By the way, I mean, Sia will tell you this now. So, Gordo, we record our TV show on a Monday. Mm. And we had the most irritating Monday ever. I didn't mention it in the show yesterday because I still didn't know how we would resolve the problem. But we record the show on a Monday afternoon, and Sia has to arrange the guests. And, you know, it's quite a thing. And, there, you know, there are like 10 people in the control room, and I'm in the studio, the cameraman.
It's quite a serious setup you've got there.
So we get our people online on Skype, and then we have to test with them to make sure they can hear each other. And I'm not going to exaggerate this, even for the sake of a good story, but it took us half an hour to try and iron out the audio problems that we had. My guests could not hear each other. And we've got a terrific show for you tonight. You've got to watch it. It stars Dumo Denga, who's really, really, really smart, just an incisive guy who sees straight to the point. Julieta Talevi, who we've had on before, she's with the Financial Mail, very smart too. And then Tony Leon, who's written another book, and who was our ambassador to Argentina for a while. He was the leader of the opposition during Mandela's first term or only term, and even Thabo Mbeki's first term. And he started the DA. He was the founder of the Democratic Alliance, as it's known today. And these three people, they set aside time in their day to talk to us on the show. And we spent half an hour trying to get them to hear each other, and they can't hear each other on the system. So I'm getting a little bit antsy, and I can see, you know, Sia is as well. So eventually, after 30 minutes, I say to them, listen, guys, if we can't figure out this technical problem, I'm going to call it today, and we just don't have a show.
But Baby Steps doesn't even begin to describe it. So all three of the guests are now on Skype, and then we'll make the tiniest development where Gord can hear Sia, but Sia can't hear Gord.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to reboot everything, and then engineers are running about.
It's so frustrating. If I can control things and I can figure it out myself and I can press a button or find out what the problem is, then I'm cool. But in this situation, I'm sitting there and I can't do anything, and it's very annoying.
Yeah.
So the short story is, I eventually say to my guests, listen, thank you so much for being here. I'm sorry we can't record this. I'll get you on the radio show instead, because at least we know we can do that. And I'm out of here, and I take my earpiece out, and I just walked straight to the car. I didn't give a shit what happened. Like there, whether
so you bailed in the end.
Yeah, I just walked. I stormed out like a, you know, I had a temper tantrum and I stormed out, and there was no show, and we had to re-record. We had to re-record some stuff yesterday. Thank goodness they made studio time for us, and we got to do two episodes yesterday. But Monday I was furious. I mean, Sia will tell you. I didn't want to talk to anyone the whole day.
I guarantee I know what happened. Same thing that always happens. You had either Microsoft Excel or Microsoft Word open somewhere, and someone clicked somewhere on the document without looking,
yeah.
And then it changed everything, and you didn't know what you did to change it, so you can never change it back. Chernobyl was the result of somebody changing the margin indentation on a Word document in the reactor.
That's something that
have you ever summoned a Microsoft team? Like, and you don't even know which ritual to perform. Like, you blinked funny while holding your left hand aloft and your right foot was above the air while the temperature was exactly 26, yeah. And Microsoft summons a demon. And then Apple Z or Control Z, undo, yeah. That yes. just undoes the typing, not the right. fact that the whole document's inside out and, like, it's now written in hieroglyphics. So that's obviously what she did. Excel, I don't allow it in my home.
I've got to tell you something.
I have to sage the house if someone opens Excel in my home.
I'm glad you're protecting yourself.
This is what you're saying now is so funny, because even yesterday someone was rearranging something at the office on a Word document or an Excel document. I can never tell the difference. And they said to me, hey, do you know what to do here? And I was like, no. I know.
Sorry to interrupt, Gareth, but just the distinction is that Word documents are able to go out in sunshine for short periods of time, whereas Excel documents will burst into flames if they go out in the day.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I don't know how to do anything on Excel. I don't know how to do anything there at all.
That's one of the first tests they do with witches to see if they have souls.
Really?
If they're able to use, if they're able to use Excel.
And then
and also if they float. Floating and ability to understand Excel are sure signs of witches.
Then they know to burn them.
Yes.
Oh, God. Listen, let me tell you something about those programs. I've got on my laptop, I've got Excel and Word. I've never used them right there at the bottom of the screen here. Then I've got PowerPoint and Pages. You use a lot of those things because you have to do presentations, right, Gord?
Yeah. I don't mind Microsoft Word. I'm just careful not to look away while anyone clicks anything, because then you can summon the apocalypse. It's Excel that fills me with fear and apprehension. I hate it in every way.
So,
and a reality of smoothing over copy, and it's not like a dig at anyone. It's normal enough that I know it's you, not them. But I get sent loads of copy that needs to be like reworked in Excel. And pulling the copy out of the Excel document so it can be worked on is more work than working on it. So when I'm in charge of things, occasionally I'm a creative director or an executive creative director. I don't insist draconianly. Sometimes it's necessary, but I outright refuse to deal with Excel documents. Perfect. If you have an email to send me or copy to send me, send it in Word or in an email. I'm not pulling it out of a satanic accounting program that hates human happiness. Like, you're going to send me the different sections of your website. We've got the sandal and the flip-flop and the high heel. They don't each need to be a tab in an Excel document for your writer. You can just not do that.
I can open those documents, and that is it. There is nothing else I can do with them. If you send any of them to me, I have to be just an observer. And the moment anything changes, I delete and get out, because of precisely what you're talking about. It does feel like you've gone down the tunnel to hell. The moment anything changes on those documents, because your whole screen, you know, like I've never had.
Oh, and the margin's gone, and now this is on a different line than this, and there's a big column in the middle you can't get rid of, and you didn't do anything.
You just tried
to like click save, and you accidentally missed by half a centimeter, and you don't know quite where.
There's things
that, like, it's not just buttons and stuff in the menu. It's like there's little imaginary margins and markers. You click one, and suddenly it's inside out. Like,
I don't know
how Control Z undoes your last typing and stuff? They need like a Control F to unfuck the situation where, like, whatever, however I was a minute ago, I want to be like that again, please.
Dude, the funniest thing is, I've never, thank God, touch wood, had a virus on any of my machines. And I use Apple, so it's much harder to kind of pick those things up unless you click on links and, you know, really obviously stupid stuff. But I've seen like in the movies where someone's machine gets infected and there's like this thing spreads all over the screen and everything, and they always make it look more dramatic than it is because it's probably really
cooler
boring.
Than it is. Yeah, yeah.
But I always imagine when you talk about these things, and this is a big deal in advertising, right? Because all the advertising people know how to use these programs. When I think of it,
no, they don't. I don't.
Well, I mean, you meant to know. And when I picture it in my head that you're sitting there at home in front of your laptop trying to get some work done at like 3 a.m. and you click on something and then this huge thing spreads across your screen and like yeah, and that's your face.
Yeah. It glitches from the one corner to the other and you're like, no. Like, what was that movie? It was actually literally called Hackers. And like the bad hacker guy sits in front of his cinema-sized screen and like types hectically into the keyboard and like weird color starts to take over the computer. But viruses are far less glamorous. I had one on an Android phone once and it just wouldn't stop all the time putting pop-up ads, usually for ABSA, on top of anything that I was doing. So I thought, okay, well, this it comes from some app with free advertising. Like, delete all the cheap or free or shitty apps that you maybe don't use.
Yeah,
it was like deep in the system. At this stage, I was making Bitfighter, and I was working with some making Bitfighter the game. The rest of it is still, never mind that for now. But there was an army of really like well-established nerds, and they were like, this happens, you've got to literally reinstall your phone. So it wasn't just me like panicking and going, there's no solution, and reinstalling the phone. I had to reinstall my phone because of an ad that just on top of anything you do, no matter what program you're in.
That is not glamorous or interesting. That's just shitty. Carl says, Gareth, have you tried any midget porn? That will get you. If you want a virus on your laptop, give the midget porn a go. So some solid advice.
What is it with midgets that they infect computers with viruses? Like, I don't think midget is the right word. I think it's small person or short, whatever it is. I'm probably wrong, but whatever the politically correct term for people who are height disadvantaged, like they tend to, you do associate them with viruses, but I don't know if that's a stereotype
that,
or if it's
that
true.
Is a hideous stereotype, and that is the kind of bigotry that will get you banned from YouTube. So I suggest you
I don't
stop.
Think we should judge Carl. Yeah, let him watch what he wants.
Right, exactly.
I'm not about to try it because you know viruses or I would.
Well, Annette says she understands because she spends her life on Excel and hates it. So
I'm sorry, Annette.
Listen, it can do, apparently, I mean, again, I'm so rudimentary with this stuff that it's embarrassing. Apparently, it can do some pretty interesting calculations. Like if you highlight a column, it can automatically, you know, figure something out.
Launch the nukes from Latvia, yeah.
Right. I mean, it can do these things. That was the whole point of it, right? It's supposedly this very, if you're a master at that stuff, you need to one day sit me down and teach me how, because I don't know the first thing about it, how it works.
It's like being a master of making fossil fuel or hydrogenated vegetable oil or corn syrup or petrol.
Speaking of like fossil fuels, every single time, and it's your fault, Gord, every single time anything comes up on the news or on my feed or anywhere about any prehistoric creatures, I immediately think of one of these things.
The satanic gourd bird.
I always think of one of these things.
Prehistoric satanic gourdosaurus.
I think of it chasing
me. We have
me.
To look that thing up so people can see what it is again.
It's called
a gigantic pterodactyl-like bird, which is 80% head.
It's called
which is usually a great outcome for a jewel, but not if you see this bird. Its head is basically a kayak-sized beak, and it's big enough to swallow you and not have to chew at all.
It's called a Quetzalcoatlus.
What was that, GC?
Sorry, Sia, what did you say? It's very descriptive.
Gord is very descriptive this morning, and it's so on point. Yeah. A kayak-sized beak.
Well, this is it. This is the creature. It is called a Quetzalcoatlus. There's one in comparison with a man, if you're watching us on YouTube.
Or the satanic gourd bird, as we dubbed it a little while ago. Now, that thing could, like, just look at it. Imagine its entire spearing mechanism alone is twice your size.
Well, its beak probably starts off at a very sharp tip, which would be sharp for it, but for us it would look like the size of a
quite
toilet
blunt.
Roll, you know. And then
it would be like it being impaled with a street pole.
Correct. Ooh. But then as it expands, so will you, and so will the hole in you that it has made.
So, exactly. The thing goes in as one, like a closed pair of scissors. Then gores you through your middle, and then it opens its mouth and splits you. Think about it. It's just got to peg you through the middle and then laugh, and you'll be torn into thousands of pieces.
Oh, Gord, what sound do you think it makes?
And you'll be like, and then it goes, and then
swallows you in one go. Well, I mean, here's a disturbing...
And it flies away.
Here's a disturbing picture. This is why you got to have us on YouTube. Here's a disturbing picture of one eating one of our ancestors.
Mm.
But the scariest,
that's Colin.
The scariest part of this is that these things flew, and they were huge, and they were scary looking, and they were definitely meat eaters. So it's not like
pterodactyls and the early flying dinosaurs. I don't know what genus this thing falls into, and there's flying it's dinosaurs, somewhere in, and I think pterodactyls are flying something else. But those flying reptile sort of prototype animals, pterodactyls and the like, they had like a very inefficient way of flying. It was similar to how bats fly, although bats have incorporated a lot more gliding and efficiency. Like a bird sort of gets lift and then uses aerodynamics to float along, whereas that thing beats the shit out of the air until it's flying.
Correct.
Like, so it's the size of like a small school bus with wings larger than it, and it literally doesn't even need to be aerodynamic. It's just so strong that it has a tantrum hard enough that it goes in the air. So when that thing's coming down, it's falling like the stone that it is. It's falling like the hippo-sized body with bigger head. And it's so essentially this combi with a spike on the front is lowering down to you in a fall. So it's not gliding down like a eagle into the water to catch the bird. It's falling a story at a time, clapping the air. So it's like...
Oh my god.
And it just descends upon you in falls.
And then how big are their droppings?
About the size of me, depending on how long ago it was.
Imagine that falling on you from the sky.
So I want us to talk in the next half hour about the Mars rover, because I know you've been watching watch the landing and everything else, and you're such a space you're such a space nerd. So we're going to get to
A space cadet.
Just before we do, though, I want to do some headlines, just so we don't get left behind and we know what's going on in the world. So apparently...
It's news time.
Patco, you know Patco buses, we spoke about them and how they were going into a provisional liquidation and insolvency. They basically declared the business was finished because there was no work for them during the lockdown. And now that we're back to level one... Patco is thinking of maybe trying to save parts of the business, and they were going to fire a whole lot of their people, obviously, because they don't need all these bus drivers when there's no one on the buses. They transport more than 210,000 passengers daily. So if they do go out of business, that is really bad news for 210,000 people a day who need them. But the National Union of Metal Workers are vindicated because they say Patco has confirmed it will not go ahead with retrenchments. So I'm not sure exactly how the business model is expected to work here, but they had plans to retrench 214 employees, and those plans have been cancelled because the union obviously got what it wanted. Job rotation will stop on the 15th of March. NUMSA says the company has been presented with alternatives. Wouldn't you like to know what those alternatives are? Includes the employment of skilled artisans instead of outsourcing maintenance work. But for all intents and purposes, it appears that Patco is still around and they are still in business. They've found a way.
I mean, look, if a bus company can be named Stabus and still survive for many, many years. Have you seen that one of like the leading South African bus companies is Starbus, but it's S-T-A-B-U-S?
No.
And like
burning
the Stabus.
They're called Stabus?
The Stabus bus.
No.
Yeah, I swear to God. You see them every day. Okay, Bader Meinhof is going to kick in hard, and you're going to see three the next time you drive anywhere. It's a brand of bus, very common, South African staple, like a Patco. You see them your whole life. Yes. And they're called Starbus, but it's spelt one word, no spaces, hyphens, or anything to help clarify. It's S-T-A-B-U-S, Starbus. And Starbus have been fine, and Patco are in trouble. And their name reminds me of a delightful children's cartoon where the little like anthropomorphic talking bus goes, "Oh, it's the Patco bus."
Oh my God.
Oh, and it's stab.
There's the stab. Bus. Great. And, I'll never be able to unsee that.
I can't believe
it. You know the one I'm talking about, Tia?
Yeah.
I can't believe I've never seen one.
A stab.
I have, but I'm
just. As soon as you see one, you'll know.
All right. Well, when I see one, I'll take a picture and send it to you.
So Patka are in trouble, or are they trying to prevent being in trouble? I mean, where are they at now?
So they clearly are in trouble, but now the unions have prevailed upon them and they won't be able to fire any workers. So they might be in more trouble. Who knows? We're just going to have to watch this space, because running these businesses at the moment is like walking on a tightrope, and any bad decision could spell the end of your business. And it's interesting because we still need buses in this country, because we have such horrible public transport. As I said, 210,000 people a day. So there's a gap. If Patco do fail, then someone else will have to come in and pick up the slack, you know? There'll be a massive business opportunity. In other news, Brian Molefe was in front of the Zondo Commission yesterday. You know who he is, right? He's the former Eskom CEO. He defended Eskom's decision to buy coal from the Guptas at Tegeta for more than 400 rand per ton, when it refused to pay Glencore, the alternative company, 500 rand per ton. I think Cyril Ramaphosa had something to do with Glencore at the time. You see, these politicians are all enmeshed.
I hear Glencore, and I fully realize I could be wrong. Like, it could be named after the geographical landscape feature, a glen, or maybe it was founded by the Glen family. But I just imagine an oak called Glen who decided to start his company and call it Glencore. And I'm always like, I guarantee you Glens are worse. Now, again, I know, huge assumptions, but I think you'd be right 80% of the time when it's Dave Core, Glencore, Nick Tech, that it's just named after the oak that started it.
And you're like, douche.
I bet you Glen's a douche. Again, pure assumption. Glen might be lovely. Right. Apologies, real Glen, if you're a nice person. But you sound like a douche.
Well, Brian Molefe was there, and he was talking about how state capture, you know, the state capture inquiry wants to know why Tegeta took ownership of the Optimum coal mine and started supplying coal to the Hendrina power station. And Brian Molefe was trying to explain it. He said that Glencore was not forced to sell Optimum coal mine. He refused to conclude an agreement that was already in motion when Glencore was pleading that the price increase would save it. He said that the price increase that Optimum wanted was preposterous and illegal, and the fiduciary duty that he had was to Eskom, not to them. So there was a whole lot going on. And remember, we wouldn't have even known about any of this if the Guptas hadn't overplayed their hand and landed for their wedding at Waterkloof Air Force Base.
He really puts the douche in fiduciary. One of my favorite ads that I've ever made, that rare occasion where advertising is quite rewarding and you make something you're proud of, as adverts myself and a team that I worked with made for Business Day in 2012, I think, or possibly 13.
Yeah.
And it dealt with all of that kind of like excess and total do what you like-edness that applied to the Guptas. Like, you know, the process of a Zimbabwean or any other quote-unquote illegal in the country just getting pulled off a bicycle, never being allowed to tell anyone where he went, and kept for like 2 weeks at the border before being deported with any due process. But if you're a foreigner with no passport who's friends with the government, with the Guptas, you can come into the country more easily than a South African can. So what gives you more rights when you're a foreigner, money or who you know?
What was the ad?
For Business Day, understand your country or lose it. There were three ads, and the one about the Gupta air landing thing was basically just saying, as a foreigner, you can have more rights than a South African or less. It just depends how much money you've got and who you know.
Hey, we haven't spoken to Elson in a while. Elson, what do you got on your mind, dude?
Good morning.
Hey, what's happening?
Good morning.
How's it?
Elson, this is where you talk.
Well, all right, cool. Seems I've got a bad signal. This thing was freezing up. Sorry to take you back a couple of... I'm not quite sure if I still have you guys.
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Awesome. So just to take you back a couple of podcasts back, I was listening to a podcast when Sia was talking about Bobby Shmurda being released from prison.
Yeah.
And nobody seemed to know who Bobby Shmurda was.
I still don't know who
Bobby Shmurda is. Ordinarily, I would not have paid attention. Yeah,
he sounds a lot like Tekashi 6ix9ine. In my, like, I went and looked into it, and he just, everyone says he's like Tekashi, but his style. I'm like, if Tekashi bit your style, then you know.
Because Gareth and I also know who Tekashi is.
No idea.
Almost exactly like Tekashi, except he might be a little dumber. So he's got, Gareth, you might look this up. He's got a song called Hot Nigga. Mm-hmm. I think it was a single that he released, and he blew up from that song.
Okay.
Now, the damn thing that he did is in that song, you know how rappers normally rap about the money, the women, and the crime they do.
Yes.
So he did that in the song. And unfortunately for him, the FBI decided to look into some of the lyrics and open up an investigation. And based off that investigation, they actually did realize that they had killed a couple of people from a rival gang. His gang is called GS9. So what's also crazy is in the second verse, he mentions the people that he was with.
Oh, my God.
Three people.
So in a strong field, he's the dumbest rapper.
It's up there with him and Tekashi. But, bro, have you checked out he's a legit producer. He produced a lot of the second Method Man Redman album. Crank Lucas is well respected as an actual producer and an MC, but he has a comedy channel where he does, like, rappers be like this in the studio and, like, humorous songs. He's got a really good one. It's genuinely informative that explains space-time and gravity. But he's got another one about rappers be saying too much in the studio. And he's recording a song. He's both the producer and the MC having a conversation. And he's recording a song outlining all the details of the illegal shit that he does in his life, including, like, the welfare that his aunt is on that she shouldn't be. So, yeah.
I'll check that
Don't
out.
Don't be outlining the crime. But check out Crank Lucas. Anybody that's looking that for out. Some entertaining
so,
musical
so Elson,
shit.
I mean, you're really educating us here because I had no idea who this dude was. And even up to now, I was completely, I saw it come up once or twice on people that I follow's Instagram. And I was like, I have no interest in figuring out more about this dude. But he sounds like he's probably one of the dumbest people in the whole world.
He's so crap that he inspired the crappest rapper of all time to be as crap as he was. Because Tekashi Snitch 9 is like the crappest thing to happen in hip-hop other than Lil Yachty ever. Like, he literally is the pale horse of the apocalypse for hip-hop. And it's amazing that the crappest, most craptacularly crap rapper who screwed up his life the most craptacularly was inspired by an even worse dickhead.
Well, listen.
And you know what's crazy is one of the three people, Bobby took a deal, but one of the three people got 130 years.
Oh, my God.
How do judges give you 130 years? Why don't they just say
But
life?
Imagine how furious that person is with this idiot Schmurder that he put him in his song, because he would have got away with it, probably.
Right.
But don't you serve, like, I think 20 or 25 years, and then it's like all running concurrently. So it really, like, whether it's 100, and I'll stand to be corrected here. My understanding is that if it's, whether it's 130 years or 5,362 years, you're eligible for parole in 15 or 20 years anyway.
I think once you get into the hundreds.
But I also could be wrong, but that's my understanding.
I think once you get into the hundreds, there's no parole. So you're pretty much stuck there.
All right, Tim. All right. Good seeing you, people.
Thanks, dude. Nice to hear from you, as always.
Thanks for that lesson, Elson.
Right. Thanks, bro. Oh.
See?
Right, he's right, though.
Yeah, I
he's
100%
right.
I'm going to start rapping, too, now.
I want
to tell you. Well, you don't have to if you want to. If the Schmurder doesn't and 6ix9ine doesn't, they just make nasal sounds and occasionally go, yeah. Like, mumble rap is the art of trying to say it. It's like the minimum possible saying something before you didn't say it. Like, try to say, like, yo, we in here. And it's like, yeah, we're in here.
All right. Mm-hmm. I just want to give you a bit of a backstory here, because this is what was happening while we were talking to Elson. So Basitsana comes on and she goes, I didn't miss Elton. He talks too much. Then she changes her mind. She goes, okay, I take it back. Elson also just taught me something I didn't know today. My bad, Elson. Yeah. So you see, we're all learning, even me and Basitsana this morning. So there's some useful
ironic
stuff.
Ironic that 75% of the comments so far are Basitsana, and one of them is about people talking too much. We've got a running commentary. This was nice. Didn't like this sentence. Gordon, be quiet. Gareth, talking too much. Elson, talk too much. Yeah. Okay, man, you type fast.
So one other news story that it's an ongoing story. There's, guess what? There's shit in Nigeria, and it has to do with the Boko Haram. So I'm not even going to go into detail there, not because I don't care about the story, but because you've heard it before. And there's no new updates. It's the same stuff happening over and over again. And the Nigerian government have no handle on it. They don't know what to do. In American news, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is really...
Sorry, GC, just before you start this one, I know you don't want to go into the details, but can you give someone on a news diet the broad outline? What was there, a bombing, a shooting, a public beheading?
Every single week for the last 8 weeks that we've been doing the show, there has been a story about Boko Haram either kidnapping girls from a school, shooting innocent civilians, trying to take over a town. And this
just
latest...
Just the huge, basically.
Basically, it's the same story every week with a slight, deviation.
That's horrific. Sorry. Please continue to the next one.
Well, it's just very depressing, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because there isn't much more to be said. The only update for this week is that hundreds of girls who were kidnapped from a boarding school last week have been freed. So there's some progress there being made. But a whole lot of other girls are still being held captive, so... 317 girls were abducted, and they've released a few of them, but not all of them. So,
I'm sorry I asked, but it's just the huge, basically.
No, it's horrible.
But what was the less depressing news story?
Well, this is depressing for Andrew Cuomo, who is the governor of New York. He is under huge pressure to resign as governor because, you remember, he was the hero. This time last year, Governor Andrew Cuomo was the guy who everyone in America was looking to as America's governor because he was having daily press conferences about how great he was at managing coronavirus and, you know, his state was going to do things better than anyone else. Well, he's being fired now, or he's in the firing line. He hasn't been fired. He has to step down because he made inappropriate moves on some women who worked for him and some women who didn't even work for him. Let me just sketch the scenarios briefly and as succinctly as I can. He is a hot-blooded Italian man, and a lot of those guys are going to be getting into trouble in the next few years because they flirt with everyone, and it's part of his nature.
And this being a general stereotype, of course, there are Italian men who are very well-mannered.
Sure.
We're talking about New York Italians, stereotypically.
This guy is the stereotype that you would have expected.
He's the stereotype that the stereotype's based on.
Honey,
you always meet that person in any stereotype.
You look great, honey. Come over here. Let me tell you. That is a nice dress you got on. Whoa. What are you doing? What are you saying? And that kind of thing. So anyway, Andrew Cuomo.
And Gareth. He's the one with the alleged nipple ring.
Yeah, he's got a nipple piercing. Yeah, no, it's him.
Okay.
It's Andrew. So we know that because he was on TV one night and he was wearing just a plain white shirt, and you could see the nipple ring pushing through the shirt. It was hilarious.
That's gangster, though.
So Andrew Cuomo, who was New York and America's governor, and everybody loved him. He's no longer...
He won an Emmy for it, right?
He won an Emmy, correct. And he was going on like CNN and joking with his brother Chris Cuomo, who does a TV show on CNN. And the two of them were like making fun of... It was like a bit of a Mutt and Jeff show that the two were doing. And now Andrew Cuomo is in big trouble because he has a third woman who's accused him of inappropriate behavior. And by the way, this inappropriate behavior is not... It's not what you think it is, because when you hear this now, you immediately assume, oh, this guy must have raped a woman or, you know, sexually manhandled a woman or anything. So the first one was basically him at a wedding where he put his hand on someone's lower back. That's all, right? He then did ask if he could kiss her. She said no. That was it.
Mm.
Now, that passes for the same kind of thing as sexual misconduct now. Which is bizarre, right? Very bizarre. There's a lot going on here that people are not telling. And at the moment, you've got the Believe All Women crowd on one side saying, this guy's got to go, he's toxic. By his own standards, he was one of those Believe All Women people. Because remember when they had Judge Kavanaugh appear in front of the Supreme Court for his position on the Supreme Court bench, Andrew Cuomo was one of the people who said, no, you got to believe all women. So this guy is not an appropriate candidate for the Supreme Court. How, if you have those standards, how funny it is that you'll be judged by them later on. So in some ways, I'm not sympathetic to him. In other ways, I am, because you've got people on the other side who say, no, you can't believe all women. These are not serious allegations. They may be creepy and inappropriate, but they're not sexual harassment in the classical definition. And we've got to decide as a human race where we go from here, because if we don't have very clear lines, if it is inappropriate for someone to say, could I kiss you? And you say no, and then you don't kiss them. Is that sexual harassment? Or is that just someone, a guy, hot-blooded man, taking a chance? Because we've got to figure out what the rules are. You know, there's no way to navigate this for anybody. Either it's going to mean that none of us ever hit on each other ever again, and we basically die out as a species because no one's allowed to make a move. Or it means that everything is acceptable, which is obviously not a way to go either.
You know when you have an effervescent, like a Carenza or a Barocco or something, and you've got to pour the effervescent so that it settles down and makes the right amount of juice. But if you pour too fast or pour in too much water, it like goes totally chaotic and overflows out the side and it's a screw up.
Yeah.
I see this whole thing of like the gender politics and the, you know, those people screaming on social media where only their friends who already agree are listening, all of this crap. It's like a process that needs to happen, figuring out the boundaries, and everybody is like not even nearly self-aware enough to know the contradictions and the hypocrisy in all of their viewpoints across the board, everybody. So this process is like the pouring too much water too hard into a concoction of Carenza and Barocca. And I'm just sitting back going, man, I'm loving my news diet that I don't know about any of this shit except once a week, watching the whole thing explode over. And it has to eventually settle to a bit of calm and calm, rational place. And then you see what's left and go, right, where are we now? Because right now it's just chaos and no one's thinking.
Gareth, do you have the references of what he did to the other woman, or allegedly did to the other woman?
Well, it's a similar sort of thing, but the worst part about the other allegation is that it happened at work, and it was someone who worked with him, and he asked her questions like, do you sleep with older women, with older men? You know, and this borders, I understand.
That's pretty damn creepy, though.
I would understand if I were a woman and I were at work and my boss said to me, do you sleep with older men? What he was really inferring, and how unacceptable that is, and how inappropriate it is for the workplace. But again, does this measure up to the kind of gender-based violence that we see in South Africa? No, obviously not. And we need to. I know that this is a difficult thing to do, but if we're going to take these things seriously, and we're going to treat them with the respect that they deserve, each allegation has to be measured on its own merits. This does not mean that if you've felt awkward and uncomfortable by being hit on by someone that you didn't want to be hit on, that it's the same as rape from the woman's point of view. And from the man's point of view, you've got to know very clearly what the rules are so we don't end up effervescing out of the glass like Gord said. As a guy, you need to know these are the parameters of what is acceptable in terms of flirting. These are the kinds of things I can do, and I can ascribe it to, you know, being attracted to someone, trying to make a move on them. Oh, see ya.
Bless me.
I
couldn't reach the mute button quickly.
Does that mean you're
Become aroused?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Can you replicate? If you sneeze like that every time, see ya.
I'm
just going to get a picture of Chad Leclos out quick, and we're going to test something.
I was trying to keep it in, and then I was trying to reach for the mute button, and that was the result.
What a distraction.
Lucky Chan sneezes more like intimidatingly than you, yeah.
I swear we were going somewhere with this conversation, but I can't remember now because of the sneeze.
Yeah, round in circles, because it's the same crap every day, every week with gender politics. It's like, let it effervesce.
Okay.
And try not to get effervesced yourself.
Well, let's leave it
there. As we were with Andrew Nipple Ring Cuomo.
The point is that Cuomo is in big trouble, and he has, according to some people, to go. And we will see if he can survive the storm, because it's all going to depend on whether his political alliances prove to come to the party and stand up for him, or whether or not they decide to abandon him. If his political acquaintances and alliances come through, he'll be fine. He'll stay as governor of New York because he'll still have a political utility. If not, he's out. We'll see what happens. But I do think that we need very carefully to figure out the parameters of this going forward. Otherwise, we're screwed as a human species because none of us will ever have sex with each other again. And already, millennials and Gen Zs are having the least amount of sex that is measurable by any generation that we have statistics on. The least amount of sex. So that's something to think about. Dr. Seuss.
Don't worry, there's still my age bracket and demographic is still having sex, so that's fine.
Well, lucky you, until yep. Someone decides that it's too much.
Can the middle-aged, ideally divorced, and sexually adventurous women of South Africa not get these same issues, please? Just carry on as you are, ladies. You're doing fine, and it's perfect. Don't be like the millennials.
Now, Gordo, this is something that will interest you because you have...
Baby, and you know my name is God. I'm gonna show you something meaty, shaped like a sword.
Okay.
Ew.
We were getting a funk song going on. Prompty funk's what we do here.
Sorry, Gareth, we did not hear what you said.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm just gonna go with the flow this morning. I don't even know where to start with this one. But here's something that Gord, I think you'll take quite seriously. Dr. Seuss is now racist, so his books have been pulled.
Oh, but he has been for ages. He was racist in like the 20s and 30s when he was doing political cartoons. And then when he became a peace with the Japanese activist post-World War II, he drew some political cartoons and misrepresenting Chinese people and people from around the world. But
right.
Yeah, this has flared up many times. Also, having grown up as a young boy himself, it's completely outrageous that most of his lead characters are young boys. But unless there's something new.
No. It's basically
he drew people of ethnic now, groups funny when he was like in his 20s. Yeah.
We've got to cancel Dr. Seuss. So I'm sorry.
They've been trying to do it since the 50s.
I'm sorry, parents, but if you've been reading The Cat in the Hat to your children, you'll have to stop because.
Like again, I'm not. I've read Theodore Geisel's authorized biography, and you know it covers this, the fact that when he started doing cartoons, he was an advertising person he only started doing children's book in his late 30s. He was in advertising before that, and he was also one of the people that made like educational cartoons, along with legends from Warner Brothers and stuff, corporate private snafu, the soldier that screws everything up to teach mm-hmm. troops not to do that. And then he... So before his books, he was political and a political cartoonist, and the Japanese were an enemy of the states. So he would draw them in a kind of sure. non-flattering way. And in his childhood, because it was in the 20s, he learned to cartoon from the political cartoons were very powerful then. And he learned to do it from looking at what was being drawn by the prevailing names at the time who he wanted to be like. And they drew people in certain ways. And he acknowledged it later and said, yes, that was the prevailing thing of the time. I didn't know any better. I was a young man. And so now I'm sorry and I don't do it anymore. And what, like 100 years later, people are still making a thing of it?
Well, let's...
He carried on doing books until his 70s. He did them for 45 years, and this stuff was 15, 20 years before his first book.
Mm. Well, let's cancel him, because clearly our standards today are so high, and we're so perfect, and we have, we've all sprung from our parents' union, and we've sprung out of our mother's womb perfect. We are perfectly politically correct. We won't ever make a mistake, and future generations will never judge us by our own stupidity, of course. So we'll go back and we'll just judge every other generation by their stupidity. This is bound to lead to pain and torment. You will be evaluated if you're one of these cancel people. One day someone will look at all the work you've done, and they'll go, ooh, this person needs to be cancelled. So by your own rules, just like Andrew Cuomo has discovered, you will be judged, and it's going to be very, very nasty. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. Here's Dr.
Seuss. I mean, there's even a Dr. Seuss book where he was traveling around. What's that?
He writes children's books. Let's just remember that in the in the time he was writing these books, everyone was doing racist stuff. I mean, I read Asterix and Obelix. And
in terms of his books, it's not even... It's not there's it then there's not in the children's books. It's the early political cartoons. And there's one book, I forget what it's called, where early on, and it was about, you know, you'll go to all magical, not other places you'll go. That was his farewell book. But there's one where you go everywhere and you see everything, and there's weird animals and weird people from all around the world. And he drew the Chinese people, you know, with the triangular hats and stereotypically. And they were, and this was ages ago, early in his career. They went back and redid those, you know, they edited those books so that the more modern versions don't have different drawings. So this was addressed publicly spoken.
Here's the
on.
Problem. Okay.
And so I'm thinking, like, if there's some, if something's come out that he was doing something terrible in his private life back in the day, that's one thing. But the content of the books.
Let me just point out that at the same time as these books were being circulated, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was one of the most progressive presidents in American history, was actually locking Japanese people in concentration camps in the United States.
Now, and Dr. Seuss was an extremely outspoken opponent of that. So that was his political cause. Don't do that.
Nobody in the world is perfect. But if you think that a book, a children's book, with a slightly stereotypical version of how a Chinese person looks is much worse
from the 30s
than a president actually putting people in concentration camps because they're Japanese, you have a huge problem. You have a massive disconnect between reality and your own idea of reality. And you need to go and sit down with a shrink.
No one's taking into account the obvious moralistic messages and the kindness and inclusion and treat people the same, and a small person is the same worth as a big person, in the subtext in every story, which is always inclusive, caring. There's no – Dr. Seuss's books are profoundly moving, and like they teach you kindness and right from wrong,
well,
and
no, we're
courage and all of those kinds
Gord,
of things.
We are throwing the baby out with the bathwater on this one. This is how it works these days. You have to be perfect, and Dr. Seuss was not perfect, so we will lose all of that beautiful stuff because he drew a Chinese person. Sorry. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's a bummer. At least I read them all as a child and managed to get a love of reading and subsequently writing and all of that out of it.
It's over. It's like, you know, the Bachelor is going to be pulled off TV. I know Sia's massively hurt by that because...
this I'm far more interested in.
No, well, we have something closer to home. You know, the Love Island South Africa premiered on Sunday night.
I forgot to watch it.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And it's been airing every evening since. I haven't gotten to watch it yet. But it started off with people. It's not a surprise, because even we were commenting on it a few weeks ago, or ever since it was announced that there'd be a South African version about diversity and whether or not how many black people there'd be versus white people,
right,
and how they would split it up to represent South Africa. There ended up being like two-ish people of color, and the rest of the cast was white.
Oh,
that already set people off. But then I feel bad saying this, because I even know people at the production company and I don't understand how it slipped up, but it is a very bad production overall. Like, there were audio issues, editing things. No, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of mistakes were made, and maybe they were rushing to just get it on screen, that these things weren't properly looked at. But even last night, I was talking to some friends who watched it, and they were saying there were some audio issues. But anyway, the show is sponsored by a company in South Africa, and they pulled out as of yesterday afternoon.
Oh, you know, if you're the company that sponsors Love Island and you pull out.
Okay.
I mean, you're hoping everybody on Love Island pulls out.
They revoked their sponsorship.
That's great.
Is that what you call it? I'm like, don't worry, baby. You can trust me. I'll revoke my sponsorship.
What is this company's name? Because they are either really stupid or they're extremely slow. So either way, they're not going to look good. So it's almost worse that they pulled out. Who are they?
Please tell me it's Durex who pulled out.
Lotto Star revoked their sponsorship.
Lotto Star. Okay.
Yeah, on Love Island.
So they threw all their chips in on Love Island, and at the last second, they pulled them out.
Because of the lack of...
bet big. They bet That's big great. On Love Island.
All right, listen.
It was because of the lack of diversity, and then Mnet released a statement yesterday evening saying, you called us out on the lack of diversity and production quality in our first episode of Love Island South Africa. We're sorry we didn't meet our usual standards on both counts. Uh-huh. We are working tirelessly to fix things and to deliver the magic you deserve.
All right, well, we will talk about this.
If Love Island working perfectly is the magic you deserve, mate, then enjoy it.
Then you're going to get disappointed in life a lot. So we'll get to this. I want to talk about this a bit. And if you've watched the show, then let us know, because this sounds like a disaster from the moment they pressed play on this Love Island. But let's have a look. I mean, if you've got any comments or questions or points of view that you want to throw in there, if you've seen the show, I'd love to hear what you have to say. And you can call us. You can get on the show live, 0797482090, cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.